Welcome to All Things Marine, Hawaii's thought-provoking show dedicated to marine science and ocean conservation. All Things Marine, brought to you by Kosi Island Earth and the University of Hawaii, Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology. And now, here's your host, the marine science gal, Carly Weiner.
Aloha, I'm Carly Weiner, your marine science gal, and I'm so excited as next month we will be celebrating a monumental occasion, Hokulea's homecoming. You would have been having to live under a rock for the last year to not have heard about this worldwide voyage. Hokulea is the Polynesian voyaging canoe that has sailed across the world's oceans, not only honoring traditional voyaging, but helping to promote a movement towards sustainability. Titled the Malama Honua Worldwide Voyage, the voyage began in 2013 and will end this year. Last May, we had several folks from the Polynesian Voyaging Society to talk about the mission, and 1 year later, we are here speaking with some of the incredible people behind the voyage, reflecting on all that they have accomplished. Today, we have crew members Jenna Ishii, Manuel Miha, and Brad Wong. First up is Jenna, the Education Coordinator for Polynesian Voyaging Society and Executive Assistant to Nainoa Thompson. She also happens to be a crew member. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So first of all, for those of our listeners who don't know, tell us a little bit about Polynesian Voyaging Society and what you do.
Well, aloha, everyone. It's an honor to be on this show today. And, you know, I wasn't even born when Hokulea was launched in 1975. So everything that we know and we share is passed down from our founders, Herb Kawainui Kane, the famous Hawaiian artist, Ben Finney, the anthropologist, and Tommy Holmes, the waterman. And they founded Polynesian Voyaging Society in 1973 and had this dream of proving that Polynesians knew how to wayfind and sail against the prevailing trade winds and settle the Pacific, every livable landmass in the Pacific, in the old way. And so it was really a scientific movement to disprove the theory of Kon-Tiki, which thought that Polynesians may have drifted from South America and bumped into islands. And so Hokulea started as a science experiment and was launched in 1975. And her first voyage was in 1976 from Hawaii to Tahiti, navigated by Mao Piailug. And I think when they found the island of Tahiti, it sparked this renaissance for not just Hawaii, but all of Polynesia. And since then, it's been 41 years. Hokulea has sailed throughout the entire Pacific. And we can talk more about the genesis of going around the world later. But my job started really at the beginning of envisioning the worldwide voyage in 2008.
Wow. Well, they certainly did an excellent job of disproving that theory. And I mean, worldwide voyage, that is quite an undertaking. So why 4 years to do it? And what was sort of the impetus behind the worldwide journey?
So the original vision to go around the world actually started with Nainoa Thompson's father, Pinky Thompson, and our astronaut, Lacey Veach. So Lacey is from Hawaii. He went to Punahou School. He flew in the shuttle Columbia. And when he was flying over the Hawaiian Islands, he had this moment, and he told Nainoa's father, when he looked at the islands, he thought, you know, there's something about Hawaii, there's something special about the people, the culture, the aloha spirit, that people are still kind, they can work together, and any issues we have on Earth, we can solve on these islands. And he told him in 1992, take Hokulea around the world, learn from the world, and then bring those lessons home to Hawaii. And all the lessons we learn in these islands, that can be our gift back to Island Earth one day. So this was 20-something years later. I heard from Nainoa, they were in Japan. And there were hundreds of Japanese people. I was there too, watching them just come to the canoe. They couldn't speak the language, but they were drawn to Hokulea because of what she stands for. It's that peace, the aloha, community. And at that time, 2007, our voyaging leadership, who were there. It was a six-month voyage going throughout Micronesia and Japan. And they saw these people coming together. The first time they kind of left, you know, South Pacific, and they said, there's something here. I think it's time to take Hokulea around the world. Our Earth's in trouble. We need to do something, and we'll do nothing if we're tied to the dock. So they decided to go around the world in 2008.
You know, I could have you tell me that story a million times over. It's so amazing, and it really does speak to the power of Hawaii and the Hokulea as a connector around the world and bringing people together. So there's a lot of stories of hope that come from this voyage and from the whole program. Have you seen any examples of that in your own time on the canoe or through your experience in the last couple of years planning the voyage?
I think every person that's drawn to Hokulea, you can ask them, you know, how did the canoe find you? What's your story? What have you been inspired to do in your own life because of what Hokulea has given you? I think Hokulea has this magic about her that she's a neutral platform for bringing people from all walks of life together to just make this world a better place. And so as we've gone around the world and around our Hawaiian Islands as well, I think what stands out the most, there's no particular story. It's just the people you meet, the fact that you realize we're more alike than we are different. Everyone wants family, community, and a safe place for their kids to grow up in. And they want healthy oceans, right?
Yeah.
And so we've told stories all over the world, and we've researched what is the one thing we're going to do in South Africa if you had one day in Cape Town. And it's been a challenge, you know, just to pinpoint, you know, and we're only there for a couple of days. And so I think it's the people we meet that are the most magical part of this voyage.
Really does make the world seem a lot smaller, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So with these events and locations, and you're only there for a couple of days, how do you plan your outreach to those communities, or what types of welcoming or events have you experienced as you guys go around the world?
You know, when we started, we decided, you know, that the first people we meet on the shores of whatever island or continent should be the first peoples of that place. And it's a really interesting thing when you come from that approach where a canoe that represents the indigenous peoples of Hawaii and Polynesia. And so when we left the Pacific for the first time, we were really nervous about how the people of Australia, the traditional owners, would accept us. But because we come with that humility and asking permission, they opened up to us in ways that they haven't done before with, you know, people who just come to their land expecting to be welcome. One place in particular, in Washington, D.C., of all places, the Piscataway tribe said no one's asked permission to come to their land in 400 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And those were the missionaries. And so it's just the simple thing of asking permission. We start there. And then one of my jobs is to help plan the itineraries for the crew. Mm-hmm. So we say, okay, if we have one day, it's really just about honoring the people of the place and finding out their stories and just creating that connection. And if we have 2 days, we're going to open up for the community to come on board Hokulea if the conditions are safe so they can see how we sail and how we live and how we're trying to bring back our traditions. And then hopefully we have the next couple of days to take the crew into the community. And we fly to all places ahead of time if we can to get to know the people and explain the story of Hawaii. Some people have never heard of Hawaii before. And you start at the very basics and say, here's who we are. Here's what we believe in and what we care about. Who are you and what issues are you facing and how can we learn from each other? So that's kind of the conversations we start as we go to each community.
That's just incredible. I have so many questions. I'm definitely not going to be able to get through all of it at this time. When you go into the communities, are you working with students as well and children, or are you just sort of targeting more adults?
Yeah, this voyage we decided a long time ago, we're like, who is this for? And it's for everyone, and it's for keiki to kupuna. So when we decide, you know, our outreach program, what it looks like, it's a mixture of honoring the First Peoples. We have government leaders, we have teachers, we have scientists, we have documenters. If you look at the makeup of the crew, there's 32 different positions. And so it's basically we're looking at their society and we're bringing our microcosm of our society on board. When we tell the stories of hope, we bring our OEVTV documentation team everywhere we go. They've been with us 365 days every day of the year on this voyage. And so our crew members are blogging when they go into schools or they go into communities, they plant trees or they go into the ocean and dive. What are they seeing? What are they learning? What are they inspired to do when they come home? So it's a mixture of programming that we provide, and it's all given to us by the community. We would never Google search, you know, Madagascar and expect that we know what's going on there. So
sure. What's the most memorable arrival that you have from your experience? Like, is there anywhere in particular that really stands out to you?
I think one of the turning points of the worldwide voyage was when we were literally halfway around the world in Cape Town, South Africa. Yeah. And this was a point that every inch further, we were coming home. And I remember we were at a local school, and there's barbed wire all around the school. And these kids don't speak much English. And we brought with us a delegation of Hawaiian students. And they were, all they did all day was dance and sing together. There were no speeches. We didn't talk to them about caring for the planet. We just exchanged our culture. And at the end of the day, Nainoa just kind of whispered to someone in his ear. He said, "I finally think this voyage is making a difference." You know, and it's just a very quiet moment, but you never know what impact Hokulea is having. But these kids, their face just lighted up when they saw our kids sharing their culture. And that was probably the coolest moment for me.
That's incredible. And you never know how that memory impacts them as they grow older in the future. And that's just incredible. So around the world, you're going and connecting with all these peoples and classrooms. What about here in Hawaii? Are there a lot of classrooms here that have been following the voyage? And have you guys been engaging with our classrooms here on the islands?
Yeah, actually, when we started this voyage, we were supposed to leave in 2013. But Nainoa realized, you know, how can we expect the people of Hawaii and the kids of Hawaii to be with us if we haven't gone to all of their communities? So we spent the whole year in 2013 going to 40 communities. I think we reached 20,000 kids. We went to every single school possible. And what we also did was a promise to children, which was a convening of all the major education institutions in the state of Hawaii that had never been done before, signing a promise that we would make this voyage for the children of Hawaii and do whatever we could to inspire them to want to malama hunua, care for their home, for their earth. And so people in all parts of education, the University of Hawaii, Kamehameha schools, our Department of Education, the independent schools, some of them even had a coordinator position for the entire 3 years to make sure the voyage was going to be top of mind for the kids so they could learn about kids around the world and issues that people care about. So in our own way, our crew members, their kuleana before they got on board was to adopt their local school and become that, you know, hero for the kids. Oh, so we tried to look at deep touch and broad reach for the last 4 years.
Oh, that's just incredible. It's amazing to hear. And speaking of promises, a lot through the Polynesian Voyaging Society, you have the promise to Paena Aina. Can you tell me how this relates to the worldwide voyage?
So it's very similarly to the promise to children in education. Nainoa is, you know, he's looking at the state of our oceans and he's realizing from a lot of his mentors like Sylvia Earle that our planet is blue. Half of the oxygen or more that we breathe comes from the ocean. And for life on Earth to survive, as we know it, our oceans need to be healthy and people need to know that around the world. And so very similarly, he called together a group of ocean leaders and advocates called the Promise to Pai Aina, that by the time we come back to Hawaii this year, how are our oceans going to be healthier because we went around the world? So why should we be asking everyone else what they're doing in their oceans if we don't have our own commitments? And so that has started, and I'll let these other guys here on the radio, Brad and Manuel, talk about the Promise to Pai Aina, what it means to them and the organizations they're a part of, what they've done in the last 3 years.
Well, Brad and Manuel, do you guys have anything you want to add to that?
Sure. The Promise to Pai Aina has 5 overarching commitments, and they span from livelihood, our island home, our future, you know, in terms of our policies and economy, our responsibility, and our heritage, and how Jenna said, how will Hawaii be a better place by the time Hokulea comes home? And so, you know, there are a lot of organizations involved from NOAA, TNC, KUA, Westpac, Conservation International, the law school, and they're all really putting their heads together to figure out concrete ways of how to manifest this and how are communities better, how are our policies better, how do we approach education of our keiki better as a result of Malama Honua.
Absolutely. That's great. And so are there specific things that are planned for when the canoe comes home to Hawaii? Are there certain initiatives that are going to take place during that time through this program?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is the Malama Honua Summit scheduled for June 18th and 19th at the Hawaii Convention Center. So there will be a lot of these groups that will have exhibit tables there and sharing stories from Malama Honua and also collecting bright spots and stories from the different communities across the islands.
Well, you guys definitely have your wealth of bright spots, I'm sure, to share at that event. And will that be open to the public, or who is that audience at that event?
So actually, we're going to have some of the ocean elders coming to speak on Monday, June 19th. And anyone can come. You just have to sign up online. But Sylvia Earle, Jean-Michel Cousteau, Captain Don Walsh, they're going to be speaking along with Nainoa Thompson about the oceans and what they've seen around the world. We're going to have Tommy Rumingasal, president of Palau, Archbishop Tutu's daughter, Mpo, is coming in. And we have Megan Smith, who was the chief technology officer to President Obama with Google X as well. And Dieter Pullman, who launched the fleet of these solar-powered and wind-powered voyaging canoes like Hiki and Alia. So we have a range of speakers coming in to share what they've seen around the world of what people are doing to Malama Honua.
It sounds like it's going to be an amazing event with some incredible people. So, Jenna, I want to kind of dive in a little bit more to your own personal experiences sailing on the canoe. I mean, just incredible stories, and I can only imagine what you've learned. What do the oceans look like outside of Hawaii? I mean, for those of our listeners who have never been outside of Hawaii, you know, we're pretty lucky in that we have fairly pristine reef environments. I mean, we've seen some degradation with bleaching over the last couple of years and that sort of thing. But what did you see in your experience going around the world and the quality of the oceans?
I think we've seen a mixture of things. You know, everywhere we go, we always have our mask and our fins, and we try and get in the water. Throughout the Pacific has been, I think, pretty similar to Hawaii, but when we started to go to places like the Great Barrier Reef, and we went diving and scuba diving and snorkeling, we heard stories of how pristine the reef used to be, but there was a major coral bleaching event, and I was pretty surprised that we had to go to very specific places to find these amazing corals that used to just be everywhere. We pull into Bali, Indonesia, and you cannot see the water. It's littered with plastic, the harbor. We dove in South Africa in the kelp forest, and that is teeming with life. It's phenomenal. We dove in the Galapagos Islands, and you don't even need to go scuba diving. It's better to snorkel and jump in the water, and there's whales and seals and rays. And so everywhere we've gone, we've really tried to get in the water, and it's really this. The same issues we have in Hawaii are the same around the world. It's about educating people, not just kids, about what resources they're using, about single-use plastics, about what's going on with climate change. And then it's about working with the scientists who have this knowledge top of mind and getting the word out so we're not just speaking to ourselves.
So important. So as the worldwide voyage comes to an end, like how does it feel to be part of such an incredible and important global movement?
You know, I think one time Nainoa said that we're not going to change the world with our small canoe. We're here to join a movement of people that are changing the world. And our job is to help them be successful. So it's very humbling. The more people you meet, the more you feel like you want to be part of that movement, but you don't have to do all the heavy lifting. It's about connecting people and inspiring people and keep sharing their stories and saying, we're not alone. You know, we're not out there yelling to people, you got to take care of the ocean. There's thousands and thousands of people around the world who are doing something for the planet. And we just have to keep uplifting that movement. That's what I think our job is.
Well, I would argue that Hokulea is changing the world on its own with other people, but definitely making a difference. So what's next after Hokulea comes home and you have the summit? After taking a bit of a rest, of course, where do you guys go from here?
So, yeah, actually, before the summit, Hokulea is coming to Magic Island on Saturday, June 17th. Save the date. That's open to anyone to come down. I think when she came home in her first voyage, there were 20,000 people. So we're expecting, with social media these days and the internet, thousands and thousands of people to come down and just be a part. There's going to be a fleet of about 8 deep-sea voyaging canoes coming in with Hokulea.
Oh, wow.
So that's Saturday. And then we're going to be going around the state of Hawaii for the whole another year. And this is our way to thank every community that's been with us, that's prayed for the canoe, that's done things in their own community inspired by the voyage. And we're going to go from every community to say what's happened in the last 3 years because Hokulea went around the world, and where are your communities aiming in the future? How can all of our voyaging family help inspire the next generation to keep it going?
Well, I look forward to some of those events. We're going to take a quick break. Thank you so much for making some time, Jenna. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Hokulea.
Quarterback looking, looking, firing across the middle. Wow, what a grab in traffic. Larson really had defenders hanging all over, but somehow he comes up with the football.
On the football field, you've got to stay focused and not get distracted.
NFL Hall of Famer and President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association, Steve Largent.
The same is true on the road. So before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, take a time out for safety. Place your phone in easy reach before you leave. Never take notes or look up a phone number while you're driving. In bad weather or traffic, call later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device. You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool. To call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Carly Weiner, the Marine Science Gal. And today we are talking about Hokulea and the Malama Honua Worldwide Voyage. We're back talking with Manuel, who is the Community-Based Marine Conservation Program Manager for Nature Conservancy and also a Polynesian Voyaging Society crew member. Manuel has been doing community-based conservation across Asia-Pacific for the past 2 decades, focusing on human dimensions of marine conservation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Aloha.
So, Manuel, it's so nice to see you again. It's been a long time. I've had the pleasure of knowing you for so many years, but I had no idea you were involved with Hokulea. What an amazing experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so humbling to just be around Hokulea and the other va'a, that to sail on her is a truly special experience.
And how did you first get involved?
About 10 years ago, some friends brought me down to dry dock at METC in Sand Island, and I started coming to work on work days and help with sanding the hulls down and do painting or whatever needed help. And I never really thought or expected to be able to sail. I thought that was for like really advanced navigators. And so it was just, I just really enjoyed being around the canoes and the people at PBS and just being kind of in the orbit of Hokulea. And so you can imagine my surprise one day when I got an email saying, hey, how would you like to sail on like 24? And of course, I jumped on it and have been very grateful for that opportunity. So
that's incredible. And I can't even imagine the training and expertise it takes to be a part of that. How did so from getting the invite, how did you go to prepare for the voyage?
Yeah. So PVS is this great program of training crew up to reach a certain level of proficiency from seamanship to knots to safety swimming and the whole gamut, and they have great instructors there from Captain Bob Perkins to Adam Jenkins, and they'll teach you everything, all the moving parts of the canoe to the operations and how to supply and all the safety things that require. So it's a three-stage process and three levels that you have to go through, and then also meet the physical requirement testing, and then you get considered for crew.
That's amazing. And how long did that training take?
I think each level can take like 2 months, right?
Depending. It probably take 4 months for me, but two months for a normal person. And so what part of the voyage did you participate in?
I participated in Leg 24, which went from New York City, so in the U.S. East Coast, from New York City all the way to Virginia, for dry dock to prepare her for the Pacific leg. So it's especially meaningful to me because I grew up in Maryland, Chesapeake Bay. So it's kind of a nice full circle to come home there on Hokulea.
An amazing homecoming. Do you still have family there? Did they
come out?
Like what was that feeling like?
So I met friends in New York City and Virginia. And what was nice is that there was a hurricane while we were in New York City, and you know, PVS leadership very wisely said, "Hold up in the Hudson River, because that's the safest place you can be." as this Hurricane Matthew in October was hurtling up, you know, from Haiti to Florida, and it hit Haiti really hard, and we were lucky it missed Florida, but then it hit the Carolinas again pretty badly, and then it just made a sharp right turn into the Atlantic and kind of petered out there. And so while we were in New York City, we had all this waiting time, and so we did a lot of canoe tours, a lot of outreach and education. Some of our crew members were even doing outreach on the subway of New York City. We were seated next to students, and they were interested, you know, because we were all wearing our crew shirts. We also got to go to the American Museum of Natural History, and we got to see the Pacific Art Collection and Oceania Art Collection at the Met. So it was a great time to learn about other cultures and see treasures of the world at the museums in New York.
That must have been amazing. And I'm sure for the people of New York, too, not many of them had an opportunity to see a traditional voyaging canoe before.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful sight to see Hokulea at night sail past the Statue of Liberty and then out to the Atlantic. So that was pretty special.
So while you were sailing on the canoe, was there any particular moment that stands out to you as being most memorable?
You know, the whole time it's just so humbling. You're just kind of trying to absorb it all, especially for a new crew member like me. And so one of the things that I really held on to was as we were sailing down the Chesapeake Bay and we crossed the opening, the mouth of the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. And because that's kind of my hometown, grew up outside Washington, D.C., it was just interesting. And I was on watch that night. And so I was steering and under the moon, and as I crossed the mouth of the Potomac River, I just reflected on the whole full circle. That's where I learned to sail as a young teenager, and now as an adult, I'm part of this leg, which was quite very special and moving. So I said a lot of prayers of gratitude that night.
I'm sure. And, you know, I think it's hard for people sometimes who don't have any experience sailing to know what that's like to sail a canoe and not just, you know, being on a modern ship, but a traditional vessel. What are the types of things that you had to do on your day-to-day life while you were traveling on Hokulea?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, people wanted to steer because it was in October and it was cold. And when you steer, it's good exercise and keeps you warm. So steering is really fun at night. There's also a lot of lines to be adjusted as you're underway. And also cooking, helping the chef on board, and also preparing for landfall. And as you preparing the makana for the people that will meet you. So in Annapolis, they really treated us nicely. It was boat week that week, and you'd be lucky if you found a berth to park in. But the Maritime History Museum moved their ship so that Hokulea could come in there, and they hosted us. So so as part of being welcomed like that, we also return the hospitality by giving canoe tours. Another memorable moment is the following morning, someone left flowers for Eddie Aikau on the dock, and with a little sweet note on it saying, "Aww. Thank you for bringing Eddie on this voyage and for continuing to sail." So that was really
That's amazing.
Moving.
That's really great. And, you know, you said there's a chef on board, but that's, you know, what does the cooking look like on mm-hmm. Hokulea?
The cook is arguably one of the most important.
Got to keep the spirits up.
Yes, and we were very lucky with Kelly, and she kept everyone well fed and in good spirits. So the supplies are incredible. You know, under each hold, there are compartments for each day, and your breakfast, lunch, and dinner is all rationed out, and it's a good mix of different things. And occasionally, when you have the opportunity to fish and catch something, then just boost spirits even more, and gets exciting at mealtime.
I bet. Did you guys catch anything on your leg?
No, you know, we did a coastal tour, and so a lot of our hosts would feed us a lot of seafood, like crabs.
That works. And how do you bring your experiences on Hokulea into your day-to-day work? I know you are responsible for implementing Marine Conservation Fellowship Program and do a lot of marine conservation in the Asia-Pacific. How does it all tie together for you?
Mm-hmm. The human dimension of marine conservation, I feel, is kind of at the core of doing conservation. like Jenna said, it's really about people and connecting people together. So in my conservation work, where we connect and support communities to support each other, is really key. And I've learned also the values and the message behind Malama Hunu are one and the same with conservation. It's to care for our planet Earth and leave it a better place for future generations. And at the core of that really is aloha and compassion. Compassion for all living things, for our habitats, but also the way we work with each other and how we help each other. So the canoe analogy is translates very well into conservation and really
absolutely
working together. Yeah.
So do you do anything different now in your day-to-day life after sailing out on Hokulea?
Yeah, I would say I have a broader perspective and also see the big picture and have more patience, because it takes time and patience to really get everyone moving together, especially for big policy things or marine managed areas. It takes a lot of community engagement to do that.
It's incredible. And so what's next for you? Is there more sailing in your future?
I would love to participate and help out with the statewide sail in any way I can in terms of connecting communities, like in the Maui Nui Network, from East and West Maui to Mo'omomi in Molokai and Manule in Lanai, to really share their stories. And one, to hear from Hokulea, the bright spots that they gathered from around the world, but also to share their experiences in making their place better to welcome Hokulea back home.
Oh, that's incredible. And I love this mentorship, this idea of mentorship and training the next generation. And we've seen a lot of that with Hokulea, but you also do that through a conservation program as well. Is there any crossovers there, or how are those connected at all?
That's a great parallel. I think, you know, I'm a little uneasy with the word mentor because, you know, in our fellowship program, we learn just as much. It's very much a two-way street. And like Brad Wong here was one of our original, well, he was in our second cohort of marine conservation fellows.
Wow, and, full circle. I like it.
And we learned so much from the fellows and sometimes more than what they learned from us. And the parallel I see is that PVS has been so thoughtful and deliberate about succession planning. And it's really about growing leaders for the future, for Hawaii's future leaders. And PVS has done an amazing job of training up new navigators that'll carry the mantle of voyaging into the future. So same thing, you know, in terms of promoting stewardship and the language and kind of fluency in the language of nature and conservation, just like Hawaii is known for excellent navigation, we also want Hawaii to be a bright spot in terms of stewards of the natural environment, because they've done it in the past and we can revive it.
Well, it's funny. I was going to mention your two children at home and say, how has this influenced them, and are they wanting to sail on the canoe? But I realize now, I've known you for so long, they're probably not children anymore.
Yeah, they're 12 and 15 now. So,
okay,
yeah.
I feel like having a little old moment. But so are they going to sail, or have you inspired them to hopefully go careers in marine conservation?
Yeah, well, they remind me every day that, yeah, to be, they're very green and conscious, environmentally conscious. And so they're a good reminder every day of what we have to do to pass on a healthier planet to them. So
excellent.
I appreciate that.
That's awesome. Well, Manuel, thank you so much for your time today and your efforts, and can't wait to hear more about the programs. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about Hokulea.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk. But a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Carly Weiner, your marine science gal, and we are talking Hokulea and the Malama Honua worldwide voyage. So Manuel, before we move on to Brad, I wanted to circle back and talk a little bit about the P2P program. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about it and how it's continuing on.
Sure. The P2P, or the Promise to Paiaina initiative, and I sit on the Our Island Home Commitment Working Group. And these are some of the things that we have planned out. We're giving a water quality training at the Hawaii Conservation Conference this summer.
Oh, great.
In July. Through Anushka Fauci, is also launching a seminar series on green infrastructure at UH Manoa this fall. And there's also a lot of initiatives on community watershed snapshot guidebook through Hawaii Conservation Alliance that'll be launched later this year. So there's a lot of concrete, exciting projects coming out of Promise to Paiaina.
I love to see all the movement and education that's happening and how it's spread throughout the island and through different topics. That's so incredible. Well, that's great. And Brad, I definitely don't want to ignore you because you have had a crucial role here, and I'm so glad you were able to join us. Brad, you are the program specialist for the Papahana Mokuakea Marine National Monument at OHA, Office for Hawaiian Affairs, and of course a crew member on Hokulea. So first of all, welcome. We haven't heard from you yet.
Thanks. Aloha.
So how long have you been involved with the Polynesian Voyaging Society, and how do you connect to everything? I mean, we heard you're a fellow, so you've known Manuel for a while, but how does it all come together for you?
Well, I guess for me, my story is pretty much identical to Manuel's. I think in about 2010, a friend of ours brought me down to for dry dock, to Hokulea for dry dock, and for me, I've always been a canoe paddler and somebody that loved being on the ocean. So it was a pretty special time to just be able to help out Hokulea, whether it's sanding, painting, whatever was needed. And again, same thing like Manuel, never imagined being on any kind of sail, and it's really changed my life and I think in a lot of positive ways, and I've learned a lot of things about myself, learned a lot of things about other people, and I've made a lot of awesome friendships along the way.
That's incredible. And were you on the same voyage or leg as Manuel, or have you've done your own different legs?
Yeah, I've done several different voyages as a part of the Malama Honua worldwide voyage. Mm-hmm. I was in Samoa. I helped bring Hikianalia back home from Aotearoa to Tahiti. I sailed from Brazil to the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Wow.
And then also just recently from Miami to through the Panama Canal.
So those are some hefty legs that you've been participating in. That's got to be incredible. What stands out? Is there any particular moments that stand out to you or stories from any of those legs that really embody what you've been doing for the last 4 years?
Well, I think one of my most favorite legs was the Brazil to the Virgin Islands leg. One of our all of our friends, Heidi Guth, who's the chief operating officer of Polynesian Voyaging Society, she grew up in the Virgin Islands, so for us as a crew, it was very special to be able to bring her home. So she was on the crew with us, and it's just that kind of a different feeling. And I know Manuel had talked about that, just being able to be on Hokulea when you go home, right?
There's that theme of homecoming that's really amazing. And we had Heidi on the show a year ago.
Oh, awesome.
Exactly from now. And I remember still when she talked about Hokulea coming there. I mean, she just had this like gleam in her eye that was just so proud.
Yeah. And I'm glad. We saw that the whole voyage, and we had many different ho'ailona along the way. I did help a little bit with navigation. Along with our pool navigator Kalapa, so yeah, there was a lot involved with that trip. We had a really, really awesome crew, and that was one of my most fun times on the Va'a with those guys. And I think it was like 17.
Wow. But, yeah. Incredible. I mean, having a love for the ocean and working on Hokulea, as well as working for the monument, you must have such a deep connection to our oceans. How does this experience influence you in your day-to-day life?
I guess for me, being able to take part in the management of Papahanao Mokuakea, it overlaps a lot with voyaging, and to be able to explain marine conservation and marine management work. And sailing is a very big part of Papahanao Mokuakea, and a lot of times we've been able to incorporate a lot of those same traditions that we do along the canoe, specifically protocols and just having voyaging canoes within the monument. There are many different stories of voyaging within the Northwest Hawaiian Islands over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, such things as Pele, the stories of Ke'o Mele Mele, Wakea, Aukele Nui Aiku, Ke'o Miki Ke'o Ka, like just different mo'olelo and different stories of people traveling to the Northwest. And it's an important link to that place, because that's how we knew that those places were there. And we had talked earlier about disproving past theories of how of people being able to sail. And our stories are just one of those things that show that we were all over the place, and you know, we were able to navigate all over the place wherever we wanted to. And I definitely enjoy learning about all of these different stories, because to me it's a real, being a person that has sailed on a canoe and trying to look at those stories from that perspective, it really opens up my eyes and kind of helps explain a lot of these mo'olelo and a lot of these stories of how people sailed in certain ways. And it's just really cool to think of those stories in that sense.
It's incredible. Are there certain cultural protocols that you do on Hokulea to honor those stories and those people? Or how do you bring that into the canoe?
Yeah, well, part of our training is protocol. For wherever we go, like Jenna had explained, asking permission to go someplace, that's a big part of where we're going, and to exchange our culture with somebody else's culture. So learning different oli or chants, learning singing different songs. There's several crew members that are really good at playing music. So doing those things beforehand is just as important as to us as our safety. As preparing the canoe and things like that. So we often practice along the way, going to places. And they've just had a few recent ceremonies in Tahiti. So Tapu Tapu Atea, I think, was one. And in Mahina, they had another ceremony as well. I guess those are some of the different protocols that we do. And
that's amazing. And when Hokulea comes back to Hawaii through the statewide voyage, will it be going back to the monument? Will it go up to Papahana Mokuakea?
Yeah, at the moment, that's what it looks like. For me, working for helping with the management of Papahana Mokuakea, we're helping with the permit process with PVS. And yeah, it sounds like hopefully this summer, maybe early next year, Hokulea will make it up to Papahanao Mokuakea. For us as OHA, we've been able to help fund some of the their journeys up there. So it's really important to us that canoes continue to voyage to the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. And it is a kind of an ancestral connection with the place. So it's important that we make that kind of pilgrimage, so to say.
And reflecting back on the different legs, I mean, you've sailed extensively on Hokulea. I mean, do you feel like you've grown each time and learned new things? And how do you translate that knowledge or pass it down to other people?
Well, I think this was mentioned before too, but patience was one of those things, you know, that for me, always racing canoes, you're always trying to go as fast as you can and try to complete things as fast as you can. But voyaging was very, there's a lot of planning involved, and there's a lot of, you know, it's about your journey, and it's about understanding your journey and understanding how to get somewhere. And then knowing where you came from all at the same time. And so, just like our cultural traditions, knowing where we come from, and understanding that in order for us to move forward and as a society, I think that's always important. And yeah.
That's incredible. I am so amazed by all of your journeys on Hokulea. And I mean, this is just, you know, a small piece of all of it that's come together. And I'm so excited for you all to be able to share your experiences with everyone else. And it sounds like the homecoming is going to be an amazing experience and a really big deal for Hawaii. I mean, this has been really something so incredible. I know Mona's been sitting quietly there in the corner. We also have Lormona Meredith with us today from Polynesian Voyaging Society. Do you want to just let us know where people can find out more information about the homecoming and the statewide sale, and if they want to get involved with some of these amazing events that are coming up?
Sure. Hi. Thanks, Carly. A lot of information is being updated on our website, so you can go to www.hokulea.com. We do encourage that you visit our registration site soon, because on May 15th will be our cutoff date for early bird discounted rates. But I do also want to take this time to thank Carly for the opportunity for being on this wonderful show, and also a big shout out to our partners that we work really closely with on all the different, shall I say, mini voyages that have pushed us along on this big journey. Another thing that I know of, a lot of our partners in education and conservation and natural resource management are also doing events to celebrate and honor the return of Hokulea to our shores. I know Sustainable Coastlines is doing a big cleanup on Magic Island on June 10th, yeah, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., so check out their Facebook page and website. And then NOAA, they just recently submitted a request to proclaim June as World Oceans Day month. So that has been approved. We got word of that yesterday. So they're having a big event at Ko'olina on also June 10th from 4 p.m. to about 8 p.m. And that's also open to the public. So check out their website for details. I know they're going to show Moana. and they're going to have like exhibit booths and food and refreshments. So that's going to be exciting as well. Just going back to the exciting events we have for homecoming, as Jenna mentioned, on June 17th, we have the arrival ceremony at Magic Island. So I encourage you to go early, find a good spot for parking, and maybe, you know, take stuff for the shade and make sure you put sunscreen on. So we're going to have that on Saturday, June 17th, and then on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at the Hawaii Convention Center, we have the Malama Honua Summit. Now, this is a great big thing because we're having a lot of our partners showcase what they've been doing in our, you know, in their line of work to Malama Honua and to Malama our oceans and our lands, and also our people. So they're going to have exhibits, and all of the exhibits are free and accessible to the public. So we encourage you to check out our website for updates for that. And then all 3 days will be at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then, and just a breakdown of the days. On Sunday, it's dedicated more to the youth. There's going to be a youth summit. So that's open to ages 5 to 25. And we're also working together with the World Youth Congress, who are also doing their summit at the same time. And then Sunday and then Monday, we have the Inspirational Speaker Series, which is something that Jenna mentioned. Which is really great because I think it gives us a time and space to really sit down and hear from people who are actually doing this work, you know, from afar and global, and just to bring that connection back home. So we have very cool speakers lined up. We have Sylvia Earle, Jean-Michel Cousteau, Captain Don Walsh, Megan Smith, the third Chief Technology Officer of the United States, and Dieter Palmer. So yeah. So check out our website for details, and thank you for the show.
Thank you, Mona. That's great. Well, it sounds like there's going to be a ton of events. That's a lot of information. So what's the website? We can go back and refresh our own memories about all these awesome events.
So hokulea.com.
Excellent. All right. I want to give a big mahalo to all of our guests who took time out of their schedule to share about these experiences on Hokulea and the worldwide voyage. I'm Carly Weiner. Now get out there and enjoy our ocean planet.